Jesus, we have his Spirit, and he clearly says that in Acts 1:8 that the reason, one of the big reasons we have the Holy Spirit is so that we can complete his mission and tell other people about him and guide other people who are far from the Father to the Father. And through the Spirit, we have the full power of God. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. There's a beginning and ending part in this prayer that when you take them together are just incredibly powerful, that speak to the power that God's children have to complete his mission. In Ephesians 3:14 and following, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father," so he's going to pray now, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and that, so now he's saying what he's praying for, "that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So Paul took for granted that if they were Christians, they had the power of the Spirit, and he's asking God to give them more of the power of the Spirit, kind of similar to what Jesus said his followers should ask for in Luke 11:26, when he said, "If you ask the Father for more of the Spirit, he will give you more of the Spirit's power." That's a paraphrase. Read the verse in its context. Okay, continue with Paul's prayer. "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine." How? "According to the power at work within us." What is that power that he just said previously in verse 15, 16? His Holy Spirit. His Spirit strengthens us in our inner being, and through the power of the Spirit, we are able to do abundantly more. He is able to do abundantly more through us than all we could ask or think. So that person who's far from God, who you think, "There's no way I could ever come up with the right words to help them get to the Father," God says, I could do that. I could do that through you. Why don't we take a few moments and flip back to Ephesians 1. This isn't the first time in Ephesians Paul talked about the Spirit. He started out with another prayer, and I love comparing the two prayers, Ephesians 1:15 and Ephesians 3 at the end of it, Ephesians 3:14, the two different prayers. And in both of them, them being filled with the Spirit is very, very prominent in what Paul is asking for them. Look at his prayer in Ephesians 1:15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And then he's going to ask three different things. One in verse 17, one in verse 18, which we are going to skip, but you have all afternoon to go back and read and grab those in their context. But he's praying, he's asking God for three things. Look at what he's asking in verse 19, the last thing. "And what," so he's asking that they would know, you have to read the other two to get this, but he says that you would know a couple of different things. Here's the last thing he wants them to know. He's asking God to make them know something, and to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great mind that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. If you look at Romans 8, Paul says, what is the power that raised Jesus from the dead that gives us freedom from our sins over our flesh? It's the Holy Spirit. Paul is referencing the same language when he says that you would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us or through us or in us who believe. What is God's incredible power through us? I want you to know what his power is, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that is now at work in you. I want you to know that. I want you to know that. Why? Because when you don't know that, you live as someone who knows what God wants you to do, whether it's with our sin or whether it's with our family or whether it's with the mission of God that we're talking about in this series, helping other people far from God get close to the Father. We live as people who know what God wants us to do, but we don't have the courage or the ability to do it. But Paul says, I want you to know the power that God has put in you and works through you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Why? Because when we know that what power God has in placed in His children, we act differently. We live through that power. We don't try to talk to our coworker or our family member who's far from God about the gospel through our own power. We trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit gives words, and the Spirit opens doors, and the Spirit softens hearts, and the Spirit helps us as we help people far from God get closer to the Father. So to help fulfill what Paul's prayer is, that we would know the power that God has given us, I just want to look at some verses as just kind of rapid fire that talk about what the Spirit does and what His work is. And as we do that, here's what's going to happen. As we think about helping people far from God get close to the Father, and we see what the Spirit does in that, which is everything, and we're merely the vessel through which the Spirit does His work, listen, here's what's going to happen. As we think about helping those people in our lives who are far from God get closer to the Father, instead of feeling fear and instead of feeling powerless, we will feel empowered, and we will feel as if we are God's agents put in their life for a reason, because God has given us His Spirit, and the Spirit is the one who does the work, and we will speak with courage and with the words the Spirit gives us. So, what does the Spirit do to help us take people far from God, bring them close to the Father? First of all, He takes people and moves them closer to the Father. Look at John chapter 16. Look at what Jesus says that the Spirit does. Verse 8, and when He comes, He's talking about the Holy Spirit that He's going to send. When He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see Me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. When the Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin and righteousness. It's what He does when you know that there's that person in your life who's so far from God and they have no interest in God. You know that if you ask them, hey, could we read the Bible? They would say, of course not. That is the last thing I would want to do. I have zero interest in the Father. You know that you're under God's wrath. And there's no interest. They're not fazed at all by the spiritual realities of life and death and judgment and standing before God and their rebellion against the King of the world. They're not fazed at all by that. You know people like that, and I know people like that. And we think, how do I get through to them? Here's the thing, we don't have to get through to them. As we speak and as we are around them and as we, the Spirit convicts them. The Spirit is the one who softens their hearts and shows them their sin and make them realize there is a judgment coming and makes them want to know the Father. The Spirit is the one who wakes up interest in God. And think of yourself. Wasn't there a time when you had zero interest and then something happened and you started having interest? When your sin did not bother you, and then all of a sudden it started to bother you, when you felt no fear of God's coming wrath on you, and then all of a sudden you felt the weight of that. Jesus says that the Spirit is the one who convicts. He's the one who touches hearts, which is so comforting because I can't do that. I can talk and I can speak. I can even jump up here and, you know, spit and walk around and doesn't touch anybody's heart. The Spirit is the one who takes the Word of God and touches people's hearts, your heart and my heart. He's the one who changes hearts. He's the one who makes people be born again. When we watch someone, people say, well, where are the miracles? Well, are there miracles in the Bible? What about miracles today? Are there miracles? Aren't there miracles? Who cares? Have you ever seen someone get baptized? Have you ever seen someone who was far from God say, I want to follow Jesus? And then you know, because you've read the Bible, you say, God has made them new. Someone being brought from death to life, that is the greatest miracle in the world. That is the most incredible miracle. And it is the miracle that the Holy Spirit does. Look at John 3. When Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who is the one who makes the people new? It's when God pours His Spirit into their heart and He takes out their heart of stone and He puts in a heart of flesh. That was from our series in Ezekiel. Jesus says to Nicodemus when He's talking to this religious leader, and the religious leader says, how do I become, I don't remember the question he asked. It was an inconsequential question. And Jesus came and he said, you have to be born again. You have to become a new person. And look at who he says the agent of that new birth is. In verse 5, John 3, 5, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear it sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates our hearts and makes us new. So when you see someone who's deciding to follow Jesus and they're repenting and you see them hit the water and they come back up, who made them new? It's the Holy Spirit who's making them be born again. He changes hearts. Again, huge relief off of you and I. I can guilt my children into obeying. I can make them feel really bad. I can make them cry if I wanted to because of how bad they behave sometimes. I can make them bawl. I can make them happy. I can mess with their emotions. I can't change their hearts. I'm saying my children, but think of your spouse, think of your coworkers, think of your friends and family. We can't change people's hearts, what they really want, who they really are. The Holy Spirit does that. He also, in a much more practical, as we talk to people way, he also opens doors and gives words. He helps us know what to say and when to say it, and he gives us the opportunity in which we can say those words. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is sending his followers out and he's preparing them. It's the first time they're going to go out solo. They're going to go two by two, but solo because they're not with him. And he's sending them out to talk about him to other people. And as he does that, he's telling them there's going to be some problems and you're not going to know what to say. And your tendency is going to be to go in a room and stay up all night and figure out and just stress out over what you're going to say. And look at what he says one of the works of the Spirit is. Matthew 10 verse 19. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Another place at the end of John, I don't have the exact verse, I'm sorry, Google it, where Jesus says, he will remind you of everything I have spoken. The Spirit brings words to mind when we need words to say when we're speaking to people about Jesus. If you've ever been in a conversation, it's the most. You'll know what I'm talking about because it's the coolest thing. You've read your Bible. You know what you should say, but you're speaking to the person, and a conversation comes up, and you say, and all of a sudden you're speaking, and it's you speaking. It's not like you're possessed. You're speaking, but at the end of it, you're like, how did I know to say that? And how did I remember that verse that I read 3 weeks ago? And it just popped into my mind, and that was the exact verse that I needed to use in that moment, and I didn't remember where it was in the Bible, but I could say it word by word, and I could say it perfectly, and then I could explain it, and I was able to say the gospel to this person, and I didn't prepare that. It just, the Holy Spirit gives us words as we talk to people about Jesus. He not only gives us words, he also gives us opportunities in which to use those words. Look at Colossians 4, verse 3 through 4. Because you think about it, you say, okay, I understand. I should talk to that person that I work with about the gospel. Not sure when to do that. There's never a good time. I can't plan that. I can't say, okay, after lunch, I'm going to walk over and then we're going to... You can't plan that. How do you have those conversations? Look at Colossians 4, 3 through 4. At the same time, pray also for us. So Paul's asking the church there to pray for them, for Paul and his group. Look at what he asks them to pray for, that God may open for us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So pray that God gives me the opportunity to speak the gospel, and pray that he gives me the words to say it so that I can clearly say what that person needs to hear. So if we when we internalize this and say this is what the Spirit does, he opens up doors to speak and he gives us the words to use to speak, then when we go to work, as we're driving into the parking lot, our prayer changes. It's not, God, would you help me get through the day? It's, God, would you give me a conversation with someone that I'm not expecting where a door opens and I can speak the gospel? When that happens, would you give me, please, the words so that I can clearly say what you want that person to hear? when we go and we're playing sports, we say, God, would you please open up the door with the other parents or with the guys I'm playing with or with the people I'm going to hang out with? Would you open up a door in the conversation? I don't know with who. I can't plan it. I can't script that. I can't pull out my Bible and say, it's your time. Sometimes we do that, but that's normally not how the doors open. Hey, would you give me when we go to Walmart, we say, God, and as you park in the parking lot and you're walking down that long line because everybody takes the closest slots and you're walking into Walmart, you say, God, would you help me be your representative today? Would you help me be your witness here today? Would you open up a conversation with someone, the cashier who I don't know or someone who I do know, then could you give us, or could you open up a door for me to speak the gospel? Our prayers change. Why? Because the Spirit is the one who opens those doors and he gives us the words to use. But then you think of the last time that you had the opportunity to speak and you say, well, and I didn't. Why didn't you? Well, the reason I don't is because I don't have the courage to speak. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit not only opens up the doors and gives the words, he also gives the courage that we need to speak those words. Look at Acts 4. All the Christians were together and they prayed. And then look at the result of their prayer. When they had prayed, Acts 4:31, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You're like, oh, I wonder what they did when they had the Holy Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit manifest himself in them? And continue to speak the word of God with boldness. See, I want to see a church that is full of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be a church where people are jumping up and down and whacking each other on the head and falling down and writhing on the floor. That is not how the Spirit of God is manifest in the Bible. When you see the Spirit of God manifest in the New Testament, it's people speaking boldly the gospel, talking to other people about Jesus. You will know that we are a group of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you see us throughout the week, and every time you bump into somebody from Northwest, we're talking to somebody else who's not a Christian about Jesus, and we're boldly speaking about Jesus everywhere we go. That is the sign of being filled with the Spirit. Why? Because he gives words, and he opens doors, and he gives us the ability, the courage to speak those words. Look at something Jesus said at the end of his life in John 14. This is a verse that I struggle with a lot because Jesus promises something that it just doesn't make sense how it could happen. It just doesn't make sense. But then if you look at this verse in the context of what Jesus is talking about in the rest of the chapter, it starts to make sense. But here's the verse, John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever, that's the first part that grabs me because this is everyone who believes in me. So all of my followers, okay, will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I don't think he's talking collectively that together we'll do greater works than Jesus, because he uses personal. He says greater works will he do, whoever believes him. He's talking about each one of us individually, that we will do the same works that he did and greater works. How can that be? How is that possible? I have a family and I have a job, and how does that work? I don't have the time, much less the skills or the abilities or the courage or the words. I can't do even anything close to what Jesus did or even greater things. I mean, that's ludicrous. But then if you read the rest of John 14, John 15, John 16, what does Jesus talk about? The reoccurring theme through those three chapters, again, take my word for it for about 10 minutes and then go home and read it for yourself. Listen, the reoccurring theme is that God is going to send the Holy Spirit, that he is going to have the Father send the Spirit. And that is how you and I can do the same works Jesus did and greater works. Why? Because he has sent his Spirit, and his Spirit fills us with power in the same way the Spirit filled Jesus with power. And so we can with confidence speak, because the words that come out will be words guided by the Spirit, given to us by the Spirit as we read the Bible and have something for the Spirit to bring back to our mind as we're talking to other people. We can boldly talk to people because the Spirit will give us courage. We can talk because the Spirit will open up doors. We can do the things that God asks us to do. Why? Because the Spirit equips. Read 1 Corinthians 12. The Spirit equips and gives gifts, not a specific set of gifts that he gives one to each, but rather he gives what is good for the body, what is needed in the moment. We serve a God who has given us his Spirit, and so we can boldly follow him and with courage say, I don't know how it looks in my life, but I'm going to take whatever task you give me. I'm going to take whatever person you put in my life to invest in. It may not be one person on the outside, one person on the inside. It may be 20 people on the outside and 50 people on the inside. Whatever you give me, I will do. I don't have the natural capacity and time. I don't have the natural gifting and skills. I don't have the natural courage. I don't have the natural grasp on the gospel. But I know that I have your Spirit. And so whatever you give me to do, God, I will say yes to each step of the way, knowing that you will stretch my time. You will give me the words that I need. You'll give me the wisdom that I need. You'll give me the gifts that I do to do the things you've asked me to do. Why? Because you've given me your Spirit. And the Spirit of God gives the children of God power to do the work of God. So, how do we apply that? Kind of just did, but I want to make it more personal. Is there something that God has asked you to do? Someone God has asked you to focus your life on? Someone God has asked you to invest your life in and help get closer to Him? Someone that you know that you should be asking them to study the Bible? That you should be speaking the gospel to them? Maybe just someone, a family you should be inviting over for dinner and deepening that friendship, knowing that it will get to a study? Or maybe a ministry at church? Or maybe, what has God been asking you to do? What is the thing that's been in front of you and you know you should be doing? Every time we talk about the mission and helping people far from God get closer to God, you know it's that person, it's that task, it's that job, it's that ministry, it's that thing, whatever it is. I'm speaking very generally because I don't know what it is for you. But I know that if you're God's child, He's taking you down to the next step. What is the next step that God is asking you to do? And then what is your limitation in the natural? See, the challenge for you and I in that moment is to say, I have the Spirit of God. So if God is asking me to spend time with this person, to study with this person, to do this job, to work in this ministry, and I can't do any of that, but He's asking me to, and I have His Spirit, I will say yes and trust that He will give me what I need to do what He's asking me to do. So the challenge for you is, what is God asking you to do, and would you trust in the Spirit and say yes and let God give you the power and the ability to do that? And if you've been listening to all of this and saying, okay, God gives His children His Spirit. He gives His children His power. I'm not His child. I've never made my own decision to repent and be baptized. Listen. When Peter talked to people who were not Christians, who had not made that decision, he didn't say, and you won't go to hell. That was part of it. But that wasn't the promise that he gave. Look at the promise that he gave them. He said, if you're not a Christian, if you're not God's child, when you become God's child, He will put His Spirit in you. He will connect you to the Father. You will be able to do things that you were not able to do right now. You will be able to work with Jesus. You will be a different person because He will make you new. He will put His Spirit in you. If you are not a Christian this morning, if you have never made the decision to repent and be baptized, let me repeat the promise that Peter gave so many years ago. When you repent and are baptized, God will put His Spirit in you. That promise is for you. And when you make the decision to become God's child, just tell someone you can repent and you can be baptized and be God's child. Why don't we pray together and then we will sing. God, we come to you right now and we thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. I pray, God, that you would help us to be a community of people who are full of your Spirit and that live like people who have the Spirit of God in them and boldly speak about you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I have desired.